Hello, everyone, and welcome to another stage recap analysis here of the Giro d'Italia 2023. As always, I'm joined by Mr. Gregor himself, Ewan Wilson, and today we're looking at the second stage, the first road stage. And Ewan, what happened on this stage today?
Well, today's road stage opened up the sprinting affair with a 200 kilometers long stage around Abruzzo to finish in San Salvo. We had a breakaway go up early on in the stage. It included Alessandro Vera of Arkea Samsic, as well as Paul Lapeyra of Agilisère Citroën, Thomas Champion of Cofidis, as well as Mattia Baez of Eolo Cometa, and one of the riders from Coratec, Stefano Gandin. They stayed up in front for a while, sweeping up the Maglia Azzurra and the specific bonification and breakaway points. In fact, Paul Lapeyra will actually be wearing the blue jersey tomorrow, the mountains jersey, for the next stage. They were swept up with about 30 kilometers to go, and from there, I mean, it was tension before the sprinting opened up. Trek Segafredo really put in a big effort to get towards the head of affairs before that sprint. Also, other teams trying to get involved were, I mean, everyone really. Also, GC teams trying to protect their leaders, particularly Soudal Quickstep and Jumbo Visma. Also, Ineos Grenadiers, who put in a good effort to keep Theo Gegenhardt safe. This was important because at 3 kilometers to go, there was a shimmying in movement and a lot of riders came down. It was that kind of split up the group and made things interesting in the final kilometers, because there was a sort of select group up in front. From that point, while Albers and De Koenig really had control of affairs, they were really controlling things for Cane and Groves, and the fantastic lead out of Spadagli, Aldani, and Sinkeldam came into full flow. Once it came to Groves actually sprinting, however, well, he was challenged by Jonathan Milan, who punched through the center of the field, the track star, who's had a good 2023 so far, but in his opening first ever road stage of the Giro d'Italia, takes the stage win ahead of a really, really strong looking David Deckard of Arkea Samsic, who sprinted round the bunch to claim second place ahead of Caden Groves in third, and a brilliant fourth place for my man Arne Maritz of Belgium and Antimarché. So no Cavendish, no Payerson, no Michael Matthews really in that final sprint to the line. In a bit of a surprise, Jonathan Milan takes the opening sprint stage of the Giro.
Yeah, absolutely incredible finish to what was a bit of a dull race or stage race. And I mean, Ewan, were you surprised by Jonathan Milan? As you said on stream, Olympic hero, part of that quartet that defeated Denmark in the Olympic final in 2021. And yeah, he took a couple of stages in the Crow race. And here, he's in his first ever Giro, 22 years old, and takes a road stage.
Yeah, for him, I think it's a great step. He's 22, as you mentioned, in his first Giro, and he's got so much expectation because he's part of that Olympic winning team where he's become sort of a household name, a bit like Pippo Ganna, because he's this Olympic champion, a part of that sort of Indian summer of Italian sport and culture where Italy sort of were winning everything from the 100-meter final to the Eurovision Song Contest. They were ticking so many boxes that summer. And I mean, Milan will be part of that zeitgeist, and he's now proved that he wasn't just a one-trick pony in the Olympic Games, and he's more than just that. And in this hectic finale, Bahrain really pulled through. They're so good at chaotic sprinting. We've seen it so much with Phil Bauhaus, and now we see it with Jonathan Milan here. So it's a fantastic win for him. We were looking at him a little bit thinking, well, what's he going to do? Because we didn't quite know. He blows hot and cold. Sometimes he's great and sometimes he just doesn't sprint. But yeah, he was there. He was the strongest. No one was quicker. David Deckard, though, looked really, really quick and really strong as well. Arkea Samsic, surprisingly, had a really strong train. It's not a team we think of for sprinting opportunities. So I'm excited to see what David Deckard can bring later into this race.
Do you think this is going to be kind of how the Giro is going to be in the sprints? Kind of anarchy completely. No big guy. What?
Trek had a problem in that crash where they had numbers depleted, but they went far too early. They'll probably learn from that. But I think anarchy might be a theme here. Although Albers and De Koenig tried to sort of control things, they had a sort of paint-by-numbers sprint train. If they had maybe a Tim Merlier, they would have won the stage, probably, I would suggest. This is Raman Sinkeldam. Last year, he did the same thing for Arnaud Démare, and he won 3 stages doing that, so... Yeah, it's intriguing, but maybe Caden Groves just needs to warm up and succeed later into this race. But Alpes and De Koenig, definitely the strongest sprinting team. Bahrain are good, but it was a Pascal on Jonathan Milan double act, really. Yuki Arashiro helped as well, but it was kind of a double act between the Italians. Yeah, it will be interesting, because we didn't really see Movistar perform particularly well. Neither did we see... Wow, which other sprinting teams? Astana Kazakhstan, Jake Awalula. A number of these like old guard sprinting guys we were kind of looking at. If you look at that top five, Milan, Deckard, Caden Groves, Arne Maritz, and Maya Hoffer, all five of them are relatively new names. They're all post-COVID sprinters, you would say, who have reached lofty heights recently. So it's interesting to see that it's like a new wave of younger sprinters who are succeeding in this opening sprint stage. But it might also just be an anomaly because it was so chaotic.
I mean, we might as well focus a bit on that crash. It seemed like it was a reaction by Jumbo-Visma, by the Lotto Soudal train moving a bit. And then that rippled through the side of the peloton, and that ended in Trek, a DSM, and a Movistar rider getting caught up, and unfortunately also a few fans as well on the side of the road. And Ewan, is this again GC teams getting involved in the sprints? There's just not enough room.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it was also because the road went in very quickly, where we were going like sort of in and out, shimmying, doing a sort of a salsa almost in road furniture, and the peloton going in and out and shaking it all about. It's chaotic, but how do you solve this problem? Do you put the sort of magic 3K marker at 5 kilometers to go, 10 kilometers to go? What if there's a genuine split after that point? I think it's a hard problem to tackle. But the riders involved, I believe it was Martin Tusveld, a decent sort of hilly climber from the Netherlands for DSM. Also the rider from Trek, I believe, was Dan Hola. But there was a number of riders just caught up in that incident who couldn't sprint in the end. There were splits caused further up. I think maybe Mark Cavendish was involved. He was caught up in that holdup in the road, which meant that he couldn't sprint in the end. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how to sort of give a one-word answer or a one-sentence answer to solve this problem.
Well, focusing on Absalon Deceuninck, you were talking about that if it was Tim Merlier, if it was potentially Jasper Philipsen who was here, they would probably have finished it off. They might not have the fastest sprinter. Milan might be quicker. And we saw he was kind of just on the wheel of Caden Groves and getting a free lead out by the Absalon Deceuninck boys. What are they going to do? Are they just going to be doing the same thing, put Groves in the best position, and then he finished third, fourth, and that's fine? Or what do you think?
I don't really know. Maybe it will just take some time for him to warm up to this, to be honest. Like, he had the best lead out train on the day, and he didn't take the win, but he wasn't far off taking the win. He still had enough speed to finish in third place. Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe it'll come later on in this race. I have a feeling Caden Groves will leave this Giro with at least one stage. It hasn't come today, but it might come later on.
I mean, we might as well mention Mark Cavendish. We saw Astana, Kazakhstan, up there in the pointy end of affairs. And do you think this is good signs to come from a very disjointed lead-out train, to say the least, from Astana?
Yeah, probably, because, I mean, that lead-out train is chaotic. Who is the leader? We don't know. But maybe Cavendish can be up there, but I don't know if I see him defeating a sort of Jonathan Milan or so forth. As I mentioned, these kind of like post-COVID sprinters, they dominated today, where the sort of old guard, the Gaviria, Bonifazio, Michael Matthews, Pascal Ackermann, they rank out the lower top 10 today. So maybe that sort of power dynamic will continue, where these older guys can't quite match the speed of these young guns for the rest of the Giro.
But I mean, that's a good place to finish. That's basically it for this video. Make sure to comment down below what you thought of the stage. Do you think Mark Cavendish is going to take a stage in this year's Giro d'Italia, or is Caden Groves, or even Mats Pedersen, all of them not quite hitting the mark this today's stage? But hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, and of course, as always, make sure to check out our live commentary stream over on Cycling Dating channel. And with that, have a nice day, and we'll see you around.